If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to be in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And I want to begin reading in verse 12. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Today, I want you to truly hear the word of the Lord. And that's what I want for me also. Because we live in a world that is caught up in this one saying, if you really want to know it, seeing is believing. Now that may be true for the secular world, for the unbelieving world. But the scripture is clear. Isaiah 55 verse 3 puts it this way, Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul doth live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. God spoke from heaven himself at the Mount of Transfiguration. And he said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. Amen. To the child of God, hearing is believing. The preached gospel of Jesus Christ is vital. Romans 10 and verse 14 says this, How shall they call on him in whom they have not believe? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? But also, just as vital as the gospel being preached, is the hearing ear. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them, right? And what did Jesus Christ say several times? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Guess what? If you don't have ears to hear, you're not going to hear. Amen. I want both. I want the gospel preached, and I want a hearing ear. I want to preach his gospel, and I want to hear his gospel with the faith of Jesus Christ. And this is my desire and my prayer for you and for you also. Now, today we have an account here in Acts chapter 16 of a woman who heard the gospel. Verse 13 says, And on the Sabbath day we went out of the city by riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women that resorted thither. Paul had received, in I think it's verse 10 or in verse 9, a vision to go to Macedonia. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And verse 10, Paul was sent to preach the gospel to them in Macedonia. So, and it said they had been in Philippi and had what were in the city abiding certain days. So, on the Sabbath, Paul went. And he went with the express purpose of preaching the gospel. They went to a place, which says in the King James, a place where prayer was wont to be made. Now, in other places, and in some of the commentators, it'll tell you, he went to a place of prayer. Philippi evidently was a Roman colony. That's why it calls it a colony. It was a Roman colony. It was a Roman city. So evidently, as was their custom before this and after this, they normally went to a synagogue. But evidently there wasn't a synagogue here. So Paul had been there a few days and they found out where people went on the Sabbath. And that's where he went. That's where he went. And at this time, traveling with him is evidently Luke, who's writing this, Silas, because he had come with Paul this time, while Barnabas and Mark just split up last chapter in chapter 15, and Timothy from verse 1. He come to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, son of a certain woman which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek. Him Paul would have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him. That was verse 3 of chapter 16. So here we have Luke, Silas, Timothy, and Paul, all going forth. And what that's what it says. And we sat down. That's who the we is. Now, they sat down and spoke. This is why Paul came. He spoke to those that were there. And in this case, women. Now, I don't know where a lot of people get a lot of the problems with the Apostle Paul saying he's a misogynist, that he doesn't like women. Paul never said anything of the kind. Jesus Christ never said anything of the kind. And I'll try not to ever say anything of the kind. I don't want to even give that impression. But here it is. He went where prayer was wont to be made, and he spoke to those who wanted prayer, who were there at a place of prayer. Whoever's here, let them hear. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. And they sat down and they spoke. And they came to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm certain that's what the Apostle Paul did here. But verse 14 tells us then, a certain woman named Lydia. Now we have gone from a group of women, where it says, you know, there were women, spake unto the women which resorted thither. We went from a group of women to a certain woman. You understand, there were more people there, but Luke only writes of one. That's all he wrote of. Now, we aren't told anything about any of the others that were there. We don't know any of their names. We don't know their occupations. But we are told of Lydia. We are told of Lydia. A certain woman named Lydia. What did it say? A seller of purple. A seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. Now, nobody knows what she actually sold, whether she sold purple dye or purple fabrics or both. I would assume both because from the way it talks about her, she was a smart businesswoman. And here's the thing, she was a female merchant. I have no idea how common this was in the old days. Or in Thyatira, or in Philippi, for that matter. But I have an inkling that it wasn't a common occurrence. But I do also think sometimes it was more common than people realize. But here it is. Luke goes on and tells us why Lydia was here at a place where prayer was wont to be made. At that time, it says, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. And then he says this, which worshiped God. Oh my, that's a good thing to do. That's a good thing to do. Lydia came to worship God. And Luke plainly writes that she did worship God. And it also says, heard us. Lydia worshiped God, what? And heard. And that word there does actually mean by the hearing of the ears. She heard with her ears the words that they spoke. Now, I do need to ask this question, I think, because it's answered here. How was it possible that Lydia worshiped God? Understand, most people don't worship God. All right? You want to get more specific? Most people in churches don't worship God. Christ told that woman at the well, you've got to worship God in spirit and in truth. There are a lot of people might be worshiping a God, but that doesn't mean they're worshiping God. And that's what Luke wrote here. How is it possible that Lydia worshiped God? Well, Luke tells us, whose heart the Lord opened. And that's my title, Paul. Whose heart the Lord opened. This is how Lydia worshiped God. She worshiped God, and that word, I checked to make sure, where it says she worshiped God, that's in the present tense. That's in the present tense. That's what she was doing at that time she was there, right? But when you look, it says, whose heart the Lord opened. Folks, that's in the past tense. That's in the past tense. Oh, because I'm going to tell you something. The opening of the heart comes before the worship of God. I remember Earl told me about that phone call he got when somebody asked him, what comes first, life or faith? And the answer is life. The scripture's clear. The scripture's clear. You can say, I know a lot of people up here, you come here, pray the prayer, God will give you faith. God will give you life. No. God's got to give you life before he gives you faith. That's just the way it is. Life comes before faith. These are the words of Jesus Christ in John 5, verse 25. He says, verily, and then he says again, verily, I say unto you. You understand? Jesus Christ says unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. The hour's coming, and it now is. I'm doing it now. I'm doing it now. What's he doing? He is opening her heart. He opened her heart. Whose heart? What did it say? The Lord opened. You can't open your heart, because the heart of the natural man is dead. The heart of the natural man is a stone, is what it says in the Old Testament. It talks about, take out the heart of stone and give a heart of flesh. You want to know why? Because your heart, as you are born, the natural man, our hearts, including myself, is of absolutely no value. I can't change it. I can't do anything good with it. Matter of fact, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the mouth speaks abundantly. Oh. This is the fact. Let's look at it just for a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And the whole thing is from 9 to verse 16. But here it is in verse, start 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us, speaking of believers, by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, just exactly like that, a man knows the things of a man. the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received, verse 12, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And here is, which things also we speak. That's where the message comes from the Spirit of God. Not in the words of man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And here it is, folks. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. There you have the Word of God written by the Apostle Paul, according to the Spirit of God. The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. He cannot. He will not, and he cannot. Both are true. That's why it says about Lydia. That's why Luke wrote this way. Whose heart the Lord opened. It takes the power of God to open your heart. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to give life, to be born of God, to be born from above, to be born again. Oh, I like that. Oh. Because only those who have heard the Lord Jesus Christ call them, heard the voice of the Son of God, only those that are born of God live. And only those have their hearts opened. Now, here it is. How can Luke know that God opened her heart? He tells us that too. There's a reason he said that. Because here's the truth. What I just read. Those whose heart has not been opened by the Lord, they will not attend to the things of the Spirit of God. Amen. They won't attend to the words of the Apostle Paul. That's what it says here about Lydia. What did it say? Whose heart the Lord had opened, that for the express purpose that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Yes. That were spoken of by Paul. Oh my. Oh, those whose heart has not been opened will not attend to the things that we speak. They won't. Well, Acts 7:51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. What's he talking about? He's talking about the natural man who receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The uncircumcised, stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, what do? You always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Those uncircumcised in heart and ears, they can physically hear, unless they're deaf, but they do not attend to the things that Paul spoke. Oh, I like that. Oh, understand, please, understand, there is this result of the Lord opening your heart. You will attend. And I like that word, because what's it say? Because when it says she attended to the things Paul spoke, she physically heard him. He already said that. She heard us. But when it says she attended, that's not talking about hearing. That's talking about paying attention. It's talking about thinking. It's not talking about hearing, although she heard. It's talking about she attended to the thing. It's much more than physical hearing. She physically heard, and the gospel of grace captured her attention. Amen. That's what it means. Lydia heard, and her mind was turned toward this gospel, these words spoken by Paul, the gospel of grace, the gospel of God's dear Son, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my, her mind was turned to this gospel. And how? By the power of God. Yeah. By the power of God. Psalms 110:3. I think I quoted this morning on TV. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Thy power. Oh, I like that. What? In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Lydia heard, and she, with her opened heart, willingly gave the more earnest heed to the words that Paul spoke, Paul's message. She willingly focused her full attention upon the gospel. And folks, that is a rare thing. You want to know why this building's not full this morning? To the brim and running over, and other places are. They don't want to hear this gospel. They don't want to hear that God saves and man has nothing to do with it. Oh, they don't want to hear that God has to open their heart because they're dead in trespasses and in sins. They don't want to hear that they're dead and they need to be made alive. And that comes from above, not from within. Nothing comes from within that's good until he puts something good within you.
Amen.
How's that? I like that. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Oh, what this means is that the thing spoken by the Apostle Paul, the gospel of Jesus Christ, held her mind. That's what this word attend means. She attended to the things that Paul spoke. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6 says this, we are of God. All right. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It is that simple. If you won't accept, if you won't attend to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you might want to make your calling and election sure. I mean, I understand about distractions. I understand about circumstances. But here's the thing. If your mind does not come back to Jesus Christ, that's not good. It's not good. I mean, you know, there are distractions. There are circumstances in the world where you are. Physical minds are so limited, we barely can concentrate on one thing at one time. Multitasking is a lie, okay? I'll tell you that right now, folks. People say they can multitask all they want, but they can't. We're lucky if we can focus on one thing at one time. And I understand that. But if your mind doesn't come back to Jesus Christ as a baseline, put it that way, if your mind doesn't, if you really don't care about hearing the gospel preached, that's not good. It's not good. Because here's the thing. My sheep hear my voice, and what? They follow.
Amen.
They follow. Oh. So if you're not following, even though you may straggle, you may be behind, you may wander off, that's all right. That's why there's a good shepherd. He'll get you back in line. But if he doesn't get you back in line, you may not be one of his sheep.
Amen.
Like I said, his sheep follow him, and they do attend to his word. You know why? He'll make them. He'll make them do it. Oh, my, I like that. So, what's my conclusion here? Well, what happened? Here's the thing. What happened after Lydia, whose heart the Lord had opened, what happened after she heard and attended to the things that Paul spoke? Well, look at verse 15. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house. and abide there. And she constrained us. Oh, I like that. She was baptized. She was baptized. And I'm sure she was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. She was baptized the way Jesus Christ told us to be baptized, which I'm sure Paul told her. Huh? Like the Ethiopian eunuch in the chariot said, what does hinder me to be baptized? What? If you believe. If you believe. If you believe. Oh, I like that. Lydia publicly acknowledged the God of all grace, Jesus Christ. And she besought, she called, she invited Luke and Paul and Timothy and Silas to live in her house. Oh, you understand? She heard, the Lord opened her heart. She heard, she attended to the word spoken by the Apostle Paul, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and she wanted the company of those who spoke the truth of Jesus Christ. You understand, if you don't like being around the people of God, something's wrong. And it's you, okay? I'll just be honest. It's you, okay? Now, some days I might be surly. I used to tell people I have distinct antisocial tendencies, and that's true. You know, I'm not willingly going where there's a massive crowd of people because I don't want to be around a massive crowd of people. They may be perfectly nice people, but I don't like massive crowds. You know, did you go there? No, there was 10,000 people there and there's only room for 5. So I'm not going. But this is the thing. I like being around the people of God. And I want to be around the people of God. Now, I may not want to be in a church packed like a sardine, but if the gospel's preached, I'm going to try and attend to it. I'm going to listen because that's why I'm there, to hear the word of God. Oh, Lydia wanted the company of those who spoke the truth of Jesus Christ. She constrained them. She insisted. She urged them. Come on. And here's the thing. If God has opened your heart and you have heard and believed his gospel, you will join together with his people if you can. Amen. I understand distances. I understand being by yourself for a while, because I thought I was at one time. And Paula, you were. You're way out in the boonies in Colorado. And there are other people. We know a fella in Washington, people down Tazewell. That's another thing. But here's the thing. They wanted to be with the people of God. They want to be with the people of God. And they do assemble with the people of God when they can. Just as Ruth constrained Naomi. Ruth 1 and verse 16 says this, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Oh, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. But here it is, folks. Thy people shall be my people. And there's a reason for that. And thy God is my God. All right. Let me ask a few questions. Has God opened your heart to attend to the things spoken by the Apostle Paul? It's in this book. Has God opened your heart to believe that Jesus is the Christ? Has God opened your heart to know that he is your only hope? Has God opened your heart to desire the sincere milk of the word? Has God opened your heart to hunger and thirst after his righteousness? I wanted to clarify that. That's what it meant, but I wanted to put it in there. It's his righteousness, not yours. Has God opened your heart to want to know him and his love for his people? if he has, if you believe him, if you trust him, if you want to know him, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Gather together with the people of God. Because here it is. True hearing will believe.
Amen.
Without seeing. I like that. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in this book from cover to cover, from beginning to end. Starts with the light, ends with him being the light.
Amen.
Well, wait a minute. It starts with him being the light, and it ends with him being the light. Here's the thing. The Lord Jesus Christ is three things to people, different people, but he's three things. A, he's foolishness to those who are secular, as we say. It says to the Greeks, foolishness. Secondly, to the religious, he's a stumbling block and a rock of offense. And thirdly, though, to the believer, he is the precious cornerstone which God planted. I lay in Zion a cornerstone, elect, precious. That's what he is to us. But it's the same Christ. Same Christ. What's the difference? Well, either the Lord has opened your heart or he hasn't. That's the difference. It's up to him. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time and this place. I ask that you be with Paul as he comes to preach your gospel this morning. And Lord, help us to hear it, to hear your word, to attend unto the words that are spoken, to attend to your gospel, to contemplate it, to mull on it, to ponder it, to love it, your gospel, the good news that our Lord Jesus Christ is our substitute. He took our place. He took our sin. He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin. And given to us the very righteousness of God in himself. He is our righteousness. Thank you, Lord. Be with those who couldn't be here. Bless them and keep them by your mighty power. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.